All right. What's up, everybody? I'm back. This is your host, Wade Harrison, here on the Shuttle Drive. I've got my buddy, Johnny Ortiz, here, straight out of Bryson City, or wherever he's at, the NLC. Johnny, how's it going, buddy?
Good, man. You know, just digging out of the hole I created for myself. Been on the water teaching kayaking most of the week and trying to catch up with the not gaff aftermath.
Okay. Well, the good thing about digging a hole, just run some water through it and create a hydraulic. And we'll just pour buckets of water on your hole, and that way we'll get a nice hydraulic.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. No, coming off a, you know, gaff weekend, just seeing what the store needs and catching up with the team there and just trying to dig out. Next week I'm going to run an ACA instructor development workshop and, you know, just preparing for that. So
well, just, a lot of leg work. Just to clue everybody in that doesn't know you, I know that's I know it shocks you, but there might be somebody out there that doesn't know you. So there's listeners overseas and different spots. Just to let everybody know, you work for Nantahala Outdoor Center, correct? You're like the buyer there and among probably a jack of all trades there, technically, probably.
Yeah, roundabout. I mean, my official title here is the paddle sports buyer and e-commerce manager, but really and truly my background primarily was in instruction. You know, I worked six seasons teaching kayaking full-time for the Nantahala Outdoor Center, helped manage the paddling school in some regard. Last August, stepped into this role full-time and just been figuring it out on the fly, making sure we got cool stuff to sell.
And just for people that know, the Nantahala Outdoor Center is one of the largest retailers probably in the United States, maybe even the world. I'm going to say right now, the world.
The world. Yeah, I don't know. That's a big statement to ask. But, you know, we have three retail operations. We have our Wesser location, which is primarily paddle sports. And then we have our Gatlinburg location, which is like Patagonia, Merrill, all that tourism stuff there in the strip on Gatlinburg.
Stuff, right? Yeah.
Yep. And then we have an Asheville presence there at the Grove Park Inn. That's high end, you know, Cotopaxi, stuff like that. So really and truly, I do all of the paddle sports purchasing primarily for the Wesser location.
And, well, that's not even talking about the rafting part, right?
Right. Yeah, that's completely separate. I mean, I may dabble and give advice and such in regards to adventure, but, you know, the paddling school, they'll buy their own stuff. It just kind of goes through my filter. And then rafts, they buy their own rafts, their own stand-up paddle boards for the lake and stuff. So it's wild. The NOC, you got to you get in, they hand you a whole bunch of work, and then everybody figures it out. It's cool. We dabble in a lot of different things.
I love paddle sports. You got to love what you're doing for that kind of job, right?
Yeah, you know, I tell people that teaching kayaking was the biggest scam on earth because I'd do it for free. Exactly. But they say if you're good at anything, to charge. So at least NSC allows me the opportunity to do my passion, which is teaching paddling, and then, you know, do the purchasing and stuff. And really, if I were to sum it up, you know, I try and be authentic and bring a grassroots way to buying and selling whitewater gear, you know, whether or not it's me selling a boat and delivering it to you at the Chattooga and us flying off, you know, the Five Falls and Sockum Dog, or if it's me taking care of your broken paddle and delivering it to the Tuck Gorge, you know, just basically developing relationships. And, you know, currently I think authenticity is going to be the currency moving forward in the outdoor industry.
I agree.
And there's no better way to do that than be in it, you know, and try and kayak a lot and get out there and spend time with my customers. And I think it's shown this past year through sales and relationships that I've built, you know, and people coming back for instruction and referrals and stuff. So really I'm super blessed to do this.
The NOC is definitely lucky to have a guy like you there, because, you know, I've definitely heard so many good things, and the NOC is like, has one of the best reputations out there. And I'll put that up against, you know, all the retailers. I mean, a lot of retailers do really good, but the NOC, you guys deal with thousands of customers. And it's like, that's not even mentioning the online stuff, because you have all the online stuff too, right?
Yeah. And, you know, really and truly, I think a couple of years ago, everybody used to go to our website and just see if we had it in stock, and then they'd come to the store. And now we're shipping boats to Oregon, Tampa, Florida, to Maryland, the Northeast. I mean, it's wild. And then, you know, we working with Estes and developing contracts for, you know, cheaper rates for our customers. Because I think right now it costs us $600 to send a boat out west, you know, to the PNW, which is wild.
So those they're willing to pay it, you're saying? So out west.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That'd be like $2,000 for like a piranha boat or something.
But them hot boats, you know, that they only come along every once in a while.
Rewind.
And then, yeah, rewinds, golly, unicorn of kayaks, and they pay $600 shipping, easy.
Really? That says a lot about the rewind, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Let's get on what products do you have there? I know you're a Waka guy. By the way, everybody listening, all this guy did, he was actually one of the first Stees I'd seen in the Southeast. There wasn't many of them in the Southeast, and you had one. You had a Waka Stees before it was cool.
Yeah, you know, I pride myself when I stepped into the role, you know, full disclosure, I was a team paddler for Piranha for a few years, and I loved their boats and how sporty they were. Mm-hmm. And then when I stepped into this role, you know, I stepped down from Piranha and, you know, told myself that I had to open my mind and try different things. And a friend of mine had a Stees, and he lent it to me for a while, and I was like, man, I got to keep this boat. I'm not going to give it back. And put a smile on my face, and, you know, just had a really good time paddling it. And then, you know, I think that style of boat brought in, you know, the Scorch and the Code, and like really changed the way that, you know, we say modern bow rocker. You know, first it was the 9R that came out, and that had more bow rocker than pretty much anything else.
But
and
it was very narrow.
Yeah, very narrow. And, you know, I described it at 205 paddling with pencils, like it was really tippy. Until the 9R Large came out, and then I got in the Stees, and it was really wide and sharp, and I was impressed with that. And then, you know, Piranha came out with the Scorch, and it was more refined, and I was, man, wow, that opened my mind. And then, you know, I've spent recently, I don't know, the past couple times I've been paddling, I've paddled the Code, the medium and the large, and I've been impressed with how forgiving and how dry that thing is.
So I mean, at 205, where do you fall at 205?
The top end of the medium and the lower end of the large. I preferred the large because it kept my face dry, you know, and it really slowed things down. I was on the Cascades this past weekend, that 425 release, and it felt like I had an hour and a half from the entrance of Big Kahuna to when I flew off of the booth on the left. I was blown away.
It does slow it down, does it? I tried to describe that to paddlers when they asked me about the Code. The OG, the Waka OG did that for me too. It would come off drops and it would slow down. It wouldn't just scream into the next one like a 9R or a Phantom or something. They would scream kind of into the next drop. That Code wants to drop and it gets back on the rocker and it just kind of smushes out and slows down. Gives you time to read and react to things.
Yeah, a good description I was thinking of was it kind of squats a little bit and gives you the opportunity to kind of figure out. I remember paddling the prototype on the Cascades with Scott Byers, and he's like, well, what do you think of that versus the OG? And I was like, it's a refined OG, Scott. That's the best way to describe it.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, it's awesome. And, you know, really and truly, we were a launch partner with Dagger.
Mm-hmm. I remember
props to them for getting us some boats. And we got 13 boats, and they were sold in 8 hours. So
that says a lot for that design, too. It's real. They nailed it, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a sweet design.
So what all – I mean, obviously, they don't sell Waka at the NOC. But then what do they sell at the NOC as far as boat brands?
You know, boat brands wise, you know, Waka's been a weird one. That's a semi-touchy subject. We'll save that for the comments below. But we carry
Evan Garcia, where you at?
Well, we carry Piranha. Props to them. They've done a really good job this year with making sure that we have boats in stock and boats ready to sell. And we carry Jackson. Jackson's done a good job this year, you know, with keeping up. They ran out of lime for a little bit with the COVID, but besides that, they've been crushing it and supporting the NOC. And then Dagger, you know, I think they're just doing the best they can with what they have down there in Greenville. You know, there's Snowy's rocking it, making cool designs, and yeah, the
Rewind. Do you sell by far. Liquid Logic?
No.
No Liquid Logic.
They went consumer direct a number of years ago, and being in Asheville, I'd say that they're a direct competitor with us, so it's hard to bring them in retail, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. So really, the top players, you got, you know, Piranha, Dagger, Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Those, and I mean, technically, for the size of your store, that's a lot of models. If you think about it, you know, when you actually think about it, when you got like, you know, creek boats, river runners, half slices, now full slices, that's a lot of different boats you could carry at the NOC.
Yeah, I think demo wise, we brought in 28 demos for the store, the retail store, you know. I mean, Machnos, Zens, Nirvanas, 9Rs, Scorches, Longboats, all that. I think this demo fleet coming up next year is going to be a little bit more than that. I think we're bringing 32 demos in. So then with every demo that we'll carry, we'll bring in probably a full size run of what we have, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For retail. So we've got plenty of space to store them. And I think that 22 is going to be an incredible year for Whitewater. It's growing and people are getting out on the water.
Well, the next elephant in the room is paddles. What kind of paddles you got down there, Johnny? Tell me. Well, I need a 200 Adachi.
Well, I can take care of you. You shoot me an email.
Oh, darn. I needed something to complain about. Never mind. I got a letman. I just knew. I was over you say, I can't get them. But now, well, you kind of screwed me. Now I'm kind of off.
No. Werner has done a really good job with taking care of us. I mean, I don't know what the rest of the world looks like, but we've had.
Yeah, because they're cherry picking dealers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to answer.
How
that
many did
not.
You get in?
We got in 160 last year.
Wow, that's during the great paddle shortage of 2020. You were getting paddles in left and right, huh?
And then we have, it should have been here by now, but they're running behind. So maybe this goes to show that they stopped taking as good care of us as they needed to, but we should have 120 paddles land in the next week or two. 27 of which are pre-sold already.
Well, you guys hear it right here on the shuttle drive. You better order your paddles. tell them Wade sent you from the shuttle drive, and Johnny will give you a free brand new high five next time.
Yeah, brand new high five. Fresh. Maybe I'll include an NOC sticker. I mean, we could definitely afford that.
Yeah. He'll give you an NOC sticker with an autograph on it. Okay.
And then, you know, for 22, we got 250 on order. So I got
what other brands do you carry there?
We've been dabbling with G-Power. G-Power's done really well.
Those are pretty solid. Yeah, those are good.
High-end paddles. They're Spider X Creek. They're Twister X Creek. They've done really well. We have an initial order with Whitewater Technology, I guess.
Well, how's that going? Because I've already heard it. I can get you started on that because I've got another friend that's, we'll just say he's up in the Washington D.C. area, and he owns like a retail like that sells boats and paddles, and he ordered a bunch of Whitewater Technology paddles up front, and he hasn't seen a single one.
Me either. So we'll see.
Not
I'm
even
just
a
trying
demo.
To stay positive.
Not even a demo.
No. Well, yeah. And I asked for a demo early on. I mean, before I even knew the name of the company. But I mean, we'll see what happens. You know.
I told somebody you'll get a DVD out of Steve Fisher on the Dreamline before you'll get a Whitewater Technology demo paddle. I'd hold my breath on that, buddy.
There's probably truth to that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
He's probably, if he catches wind of this, he's probably going to get mad at me, but we'll see. Well, then send somebody a demo so I can do a review on it. I'd love to.
Wouldn't that be sick?
I'd love to. I'd review it. I don't want the paddle. I would just do it just to get more out there, because the paddle market, as you know, is slim pickings. My buddy Andrew Hiltbrand started bringing in Ophion, and he's selling those Ophion. You've looked at it. That's right. I showed you one of the Ophion. Over at the COE, Seth Holloway, he brought in a big stock of
Order Lettman.
Lettmans. So, you know, he sold all 50 of them. He ordered 50 and he sold all 50 of them. So he ordered another 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing.
If they move,
there's no shortage. There's no, it's like there needs to be more paddle manufactured, because it was like, that's the problem with Warner being number one and AT's out of the picture. It's kind of like, where do you go?
Right. No, I agree. You know, there's some smaller companies out there. I know Select out of France. Some vendors are looking to bring them in. I have an order with them, but who knows if that'll show up. You know, another one is Hardcore Paddles. I've seen a number of those in the Southeast.
I have too. That's crazy. I reached out to that guy and talked to him. I don't know. I think he's doing that as like a side project, just kind of like, honestly, I don't think he wants a lot of those, because in his manufacturing, they're wooden. For everybody listening, Hardcore Paddles, you can back me up in this, Johnny. They're wooden paddles with laminated carbon fiber over top of them, wove into the wood. They look good.
Yep.
Very small blades.
Yeah. Yeah, they do look good. You know, the blade style is similar to like a Snyder stick, like a Jim Snyder wooden paddle. There's a brief learning curve when it comes to using those, but they feel really good. An honorable mention would be John Keller's starting his paddle business.
I want to get him on here. Yeah. I want to get him on here on how to make a paddle. He calls them stout paddles.
Yep, stout paddles. I felt that when I was at the Cascades, and golly, it was like a stouter Odachi.
Was it heavy?
It was pretty heavy, but he says it's stout. So, I mean, I would sacrifice a little bit of swing weight for knowing that paddle's going to be good.
I broke two Adachis, so trust me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how many you broke. My handful.
I love the Adachi. Don't get me wrong. It's a beautifully designed blade. I've loved the lightness of it and the power that the blade generates. But, man, they break
easy. You hit
easy.
One rock. That's it. You're done. Wow. Bad day. That's why you carry a breakdown.
Yeah, that is true. What kind of breakdown would you recommend?
So I've been experimenting with a surge breakdown here recently. Because I
didn't know that came in a breakdown.
Yeah, you can get the surge. Yep, four piece.
That's a good paddle to have as a breakdown, dude.
Get the strike as a breakdown. From a teaching perspective as an instructor, that's a little bit large of a blade. So I also, if I'm teaching paddling and I'm somewhere remote, I'll bring a Sherpa breakdown, a smaller blade, more manageable.
Well, awesome. Well, on that teaching, one of the questions I have for you with your experience is, so someone just getting into whitewater, what would your suggestions be for like a boat? Let's say I'm Joe Schmo right off the street. I've seen a kayak on the Nantahala. So I just walk in the store there and I'm wanting a paddle, a life vest, a skirt, a helmet, a boat. Like, how would you approach that? Man or woman, just walk right off the street saying, we're wanting to get into whitewater. What boats what style would you suggest? Because this is, as you know, some people's like, you should start in a playboat, get a Mixmaster. I'm like, I don't agree with that. But what would you suggest, Johnny?
For me, as a whitewater educator, I'll address their goal and what their end goal is. If their end goal is to run class five, send the whatever, they want to race the Greenways or whatever.
The goal is the ECOE.
The goal is the ECOE. So I would say if their goal is just to paddle the ECOE, a river running kayak, something with a flat hull, relatively stable. My social experimentation over the years with teaching kayaking, I've put people in round bottom boats and I've put people in flat bottom boats. And I've found that the learning curve is higher when they have the ability to edge. So if they have a planing hull boat and they can feel feedback, they progress faster.
Really? So like a code,
if that makes sense.
Like a code, like a Scorch,
like a burn, a mamba, a cold, a scorch, you know, something.
What about a half slice?
If their weight is advantageous to that boat, like if they're on the lighter end of it and they don't get extreme feedback, then that's okay.
Extreme feedback. Explain that. So extreme feedback. What are you saying by extreme feedback?
You know, just getting that stern pushed around. So if you're at the top end of a weight range or something, most beginners tend to lean back or slouch. So the stern will get weighted, and in a half slice, that can be not as forgiving. It can give them feedback or cause failure in a way that may deter them from pursuing the sport, you know? So I'd recommend, you know, modern boats wise, a scorch, a code, something that's primarily stable, but has a hard enough rail and chine that they get feedback and they know they have to edge one way or the other.
Okay.
Paddle wise, you know, I always give a spiel. I hand them a Rio and I go, this is the Toyota Corolla of paddles, right?
Okay.
And then I hand them a Powerhouse. And, you know, I tell them that this is a little bit better. This is like the Lexus version, a little bit higher end, you know, the Toyota Camry.
Electric, yeah.
Yeah, Camry, so to speak, you know, and then I'll hand them a Chauvin. And I go, okay, now this is like your Range Rover or something. And it really and truly, there's a lot in between that. But choose that first, and then I'll go into sizing, you know, and the width of the paddle and blade shape and blade surface area and whatever. But in most cases, people just shop price point instead of shopping reliability. So that's I always true. Recommend a fiberglass paddle, something that's going to last them a long time. As a beginner, they may lose it, so it's not too expensive.
So it would be like a Powerhouse.
Powerhouse, Sherpa.
That's a great paddle.
And, you know, something like that, you know, and maybe if they have a little bit of extra coin, they go Carbon Powerhouse or Sherpa. And then really and truly, PFD would be a matter of fit. I'm not going to sell them a rescue vest.
You're not going to go full green jacket, right?
No, yeah. Man, there's no purpose for that. They wouldn't even know how to use it, really and truly.
It'd just be a lot of extra stuff.
You know, talk on them, but that's a lot of a steeper learning curve than just having a YTV. You know,
sales wise or something.
Yeah, sales wise, we've done really well with the Hustle, Kokatat's Hustle. It's firm fitting.
I have the rescue one of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Low profiles, awesome PFD. Helmets, I'd say that's based on size. Everybody wants a suite because they're pretty sweet.
And they protect you real good.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, I mean, being at the NOC and my background in instruction is that I'll recommend that they take a course of some sort, you know. We
like
offer
what?
A Discover River Kayaking. It's a day in a boat with a kayak instructor, and it's during the week, it's $100. On the weekend, it's $150. And you spend 7.5 hours on the river. You learn propulsion strokes and turning strokes. You don't even have to give them a name. They teach them how to wet exit, and it kind of gets their feet wet.
That's a one-day course?
One-day course, yeah.
Deep. I'm in the wrong business. Screw this podcast and shit. I need to go down and give one-day courses at the NOC. 150. That's actually a pretty good deal. Yeah, so that's a full-day course. And you're going to learn all the basics of forward propulsion strokes, turning. You're not going to be learning any like bow draws, stern draws. You're not going to be learning any type of advanced strokes, but you're going to learn the basics and how to wet exit and kind of any questions you can answer for them, like what's this do on the boat and stuff like that.
Exactly. I mean, we get them there in the morning. It's a clinic style program, so anybody
get a free
can show
lunch.
Up. They get a free lunch, man. And we take them to the lake, Lake Montana, and then we take them to a stretch of river that's applicable to the group dynamic. So sometimes we're running the Nantahala with them if they're all ninja. Sometimes we're running the Tuckasegee with them if they're a little slower moving. But anybody and everybody can get in a boat. We've got sit-on-tops. I firmly believe, I think we have the biggest demo fleet in America, so...
I think you do. You do. Yeah. And
I mean,
and what makes it good is you do have the Nantahala and the Tuckasegee right there, which is dam controlled. So you have, projected releases that you can plan around and all that, correct?
Yeah, and you know, people come from all over the country. I mean, I think
all over the world, last, right?
Yeah. The last I heard, it was something like the school, the Nantahala Outdoor Center school, puts 3,000 individual people in kayaks a year. So 3,000 different humans.
That's a big number,
humans. Johnny. That's a big number. You know, we joke around at the school when we're watching kayaking videos off the clock that we're superheroes in skirts, you know. So hopefully we're changing people's lives by teaching them how to kayak.
Well, I think you are, man. I think you are. I think NLC as well, and you're part of that.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah, man. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, so after that, do you suggest that they take like a rescue course or any wilderness survival? When would you suggest something like that?
You know, I think it depends again on their goals. You know, if they want to go out and they want to run, you know, harder whitewater and they're showing people down and they're stepping into a leadership role, then maybe at that point they take a swiftwater rescue. You know, if they're going out in wilderness areas like the Chattooga, you know, section four, something like that, then maybe they go and they get a wilderness first responder. The cool thing about kayaking is everybody has a different point in life that they get into it. And, it can take them the rest of their life to work on that progression, you know, and it's all class fun. No one has to chase the Chioa or the upper Coe, the green or whatever. They can have fun doing what they need to do. And, you know, the Nantahala and the Tuckasegee and stuff, you need minimal skill and you don't need any big certifications to make things happen.
Yeah, and it's fairly
safe. Time.
And all those runs, a Coe, Nantahala, Tuckasegee, you know, Pigeon, it's all relatively safe paddling, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, man. Well, that's pretty good. And you give a course, you give rescue course, right?
You're an instructor. Yeah. So roundabout, I teach all types of kayaking. I've been doing a lot of like class 3-4 private instruction with swiftwater rescue on the side. And that's pretty cool. So I like to layer in that. At one point in my NSC career, I taught wilderness first aid and helped teach wilderness first responder courses. So I'm on the committee that runs.
What does a normal course cost? Like, say, is it a weekend or is it a week long course? How does this work? Just for everybody listening.
Yeah. So the courses we offer, a 2-day course, I think they're like $400 or $500. Don't quote me.
I'm quoting.
And then the 5-day courses, they're anywhere from like $750 to $1,000, depending on
how many
travel days. Yep, a whole week. How many travel days there are, whether or not you go to the Akoi, the Nolichucky, or wherever. The cool thing about instruction is you get your team, and as a TL, the instructor that runs that program, you can take them to the venue that suits their progression the best.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, so if they're good enough and the Chioa's running, take them to the Chioa.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've ran programs on the Chioa.
Yeah, if it's a solid crew, yeah, that's pretty good, man. Yeah. Well, good. Now that I've got a rescue instructor on, what's your opinion of running a tow tether all the time? I think I even messaged you. And you know, I've seen you with one on the green, I think. I think I've seen you out there with a tow tether one time. Maybe you just forgot and left it on there.
Probably, man. I have my work PFD in all the time. So if I'm in a class 2-3 venue, I'll rock a tow tether. Besides that, I'll keep it tucked in a PFD. I've started carrying a prusik and a carabiner. There's been numerous incidents that I've read about, you know, with it getting tangled or with a non-locking carabiner. I actually, as a guide in New York, someone with a non-locking carabiner got clipped into a root ball on Cataraugus Creek that
insane.
We had. That's
insane. What a freak accident, huh?
Freak accident. Just clipped into a root ball, and we had to climb up on the root ball. And
while they were swimming or just paddled into it?
Swimming,
and they went to swim around a root ball, and just randomly that stupid thing clipped on.
Yep.
See, let everybody listening out there, let everybody know that locking either a twist lock or screw gate. I use a lot of those screw gates. But there's a lot of those good twist lock ones. They're just expensive.
I think they call them. But really and truly, I try not to use the tether unless I'm in a pool. You won't see me clipped into a boat that often.
Yeah. I'm going to have a shirt. But I'm going to have a shirt, Johnny, that's going to be the shuttle driving on the back. It's going to say, where's your tow tether?
Where's your tow tether? Well,
or how long is your tow tether?
At the store. Yeah. That's good.
And have a little dangling tow tether from the back of a vest coming off a drop. You ever seen it? I watched somebody run gorilla one time and their tow tether had came out through the notch and it was dangling on the back of their boat, banging like this as they were going over. I was like, I'm sitting there and we're running laps. I'm just looking down like, are you, why? I'm like, why? Where are you towing boats on the green?
You're not. Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Yeah, so. I mean, I see applications. I've, to anchor myself, set mm-hmm. safety for someone else, I've used the tether. You know, I mean, there's other applications for it. But, you know, but in regards to a creaking environment and stuff, I completely agree with you.
Well, okay. On that, what would you say are kind of like, let's just try to think of something in general, like what would be like, give me your top five things to become a better paddler. Let's say I've hit a wall. I've been kayaking. Yeah. I'm like, Johnny, I've been paddling for about a year. I just feel like I still suck. You know, I just feel like I'm not going anywhere. What can I do? This, I mean, obviously you haven't paddled with somebody and I'm just like conversation with you. What are the top five things? Cause I was thinking about this as like a YouTube video, top five things to progress your paddling more. I'd like to hear your opinion on this. Cause I've got an opinion on it, but I'd like to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd be interested to hear what you
think. I already know how to roll. I have a solid roll.
Yeah.
I just feel like I just, for whatever reason, I'm stuck on just the ECOE and I want to do like harder stuff. How do I get there?
I think, you know, the first thing to address is what routine they're in. You know, I know a lot of paddlers that's all they do is they go to the ECOE. They run the same lines, the same booths, right? So I talk purpose. What's your purpose?
Okay.
I'm going to kayak today. My purpose is going to be I'm going to catch every eddy deep into the eddy, right? Drive deep and be where I want to be in the eddy, okay? And then the purpose the next day, maybe I'm going to shred every single wave. I'm going to front surf, side surf, whatever. Maybe the next day I work on cross bows, you know? But just having a purpose. So purpose and being goal-oriented would be the first thing, getting out of a routine. Another thing is surround yourself with people that are as good or better than you. Mm-hmm. And push it in a way that's safe and supporting for each other. You know, so for instance, you go and you run Gorilla. Well, set safety at Gorilla. Talk about scouting. Come up with a plan in case you crash and burn, right? Instead of just routing through it. Because then that makes the entire community look like a bunch of idiots.
Look like a bunch of
people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, the third thing would be get instruction. I mean, the American Canoe Association, they have set guidelines and course recommendations that make the instructors have a keen eye for assessment and feedback, if that makes sense. And yeah, some instructors are better than others, but instruction, just having someone with a keen eye to provide you feedback is going to make you a better kayaker, right? You know, another thing, what was that? Number three. Number four is time in the seat. You got to spend time in the damn seat.
Yeah. You can't just right? be once a month, weekend warrior type, and then think, oh, why am I not getting better? I want to go do, you know, West Prong in the Smokies. And I just don't feel, I'm like, well, you've only been in the boat five times in the past 8 months.
Yeah. You know, and then the fifth thing, which sometimes I struggle with, is change the craft and change the venue. So variability. I feel like I'm the best kayaker when I sling ends, when I play boat, when I do attainments and go creaking. And I know that sounds like a big time suck, but having that variability, yeah, people specialize to a point that they lose sharpness in other things. You know, there's people, I mean, I've seen them, you know, you go to the green with people, you paddle with people on the green and they have the line memorized, the stroke memorized and the way their bow drops memorized. And then you take them to the ECOE and they get worked in every single hole.
Or asking you, like, you catch it just a basic eddy and they struggle with it. Because they, yeah, I've seen
But then they're triple
Not to pick on Green River paddlers, because you're going to get all the Green Narrows Asheville Elite pissed off, like, what? I could smoke you. I could smoke you anywhere, Johnny.
You probably could. I don't go over there, no.
Yeah, but no, I've had several people that use the green as like a benchmark of what they paddled, and then we've went and run other runs, even around Asheville, and they're asking me, where should they go? Like, what do you think? Is this? I was like, dude, yeah. It's so is that it? Would that say, yeah, that's your top? So that's your top five things right there?
Yeah, I'd say that'd be my top five. What about you?
Pretty much, we're almost dead on. One of the honorable mentions, I guess, we could throw in there is physical fitness. I always put that a lot of people, they're just really bad out of shape. And and I've seen them, you've seen them, and they just gas out. And they might be solid paddlers. They just get gassed out. They get worked in a hole and they swim because they're too damn tired. But I agree with everything you said. Our lists are pretty much spot on. The only thing I think I had was just more physical fitness in there somewhere. Like when you said seat time, I put that along with seat time and physical fitness. Do some freaking pushups. You know, you want to be a better paddler. It's just like anything. I want to run faster. I should get some more. No, go running. How about go work out? You know, go do it.
No. And that, you know, that's well said. And then mountain bike, I guess I'm blessed enough to live in an area where I can make all that happen. But really and truly, the fitter you are, the better you are in a boat. I mean, especially in the Southeast, if you're running Upper Big Creek, by the time you hike to the Pudding, if you're exhausted, well, dude, you're not going to have
a good day on the river. Then you get sloppy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you get tired. A lot of people, they get tired and they get sloppy, don't they? It's like they're just fatiguing out. And that comes along also with what you kind of touched on there. And I kind of say that too. Do the variety craft. You'll see me in a slicey boat, a half slice, a creek boat, and a long boat on any given day. I love throwing ends one day, and then I could be doing attainments the next. And I have fun doing all that. But it also keeps my skill set sharp. So when I do get worked in a hole in my Phantom or Code or something, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling for that current to get out. I'm not just lost and stuck in a side surf looking for a rope.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you. I know I've been on this longboat kick here recently up at the Gauley, and we were rocking longboats.
Oh, yeah. So for everybody listening, I was on the Gauley, and, you know, obviously I was, let's say I was doing some top secret supernova testing. So I was doing some supernova testing on the Gauley. If you guys don't know what the supernova is, go type in supernova in YouTube and you'll see my video. But I had the slicey boat out, and then this dude hits up and he's like, hey, triple marathons, which is like 50 plus laps of whitewater. I'm triple. Like, it sounds painfully fun.
You know, it was awesome. So yeah, long story short, Chris Hipgrave and I, we were talking about it. He's the director of Piranha there. And we were talking about doing a double, and all of a sudden the day before, he's like, let's do a marathon. We'll warm up. So we did a marathon Friday. Okay. And then woke up bright and early and did a double marathon on Saturday. So, yeah, 52 miles. It was one of my favorite days kayaking.
That's awesome.
And 15 seasons of boating, you know, just dropping in. My favorite part really and truly was by the time you get to Lost Paddle or Iron Ring, is, hey, Wade, what's going on, dude? And then 3 hours later, what's up, dude?
I'm at Sweets, and here he is. You're like, lap two? What? You've already done a full marathon, ran shuttle, and I'm just at Sweets, still kind of playing in a hole. And I look in the background, and I see them. And here they come rumbling down. I'm like, oh, God, look at these guys. Just cruising, just smooth strokes. Don't stop and talk. Just did a hey, just kind of a head nod or a deuce-deuce as you're going by.
It was awesome. I highly recommend it. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah,
wants to get after
it. I wanted to do, and I done kind of obligated myself to doing some testing on that supernova, which is not a bad thing. I had a good time. But when you mentioned that triple, I just love those challenges like that. It's one of those things where I know if other people are doing it, I can't not quit, and I'm going to do it. You're going to do it.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I know I woke up that morning and I was like, yep, either way, it's getting done. I don't care.
I might be out here in the dark, but it's getting done.
It was the first lap that was the toughest because you had to knock that out quick, the first lap on Saturday.
Yeah, so for everybody listening, the Gauley River is in West Virginia, and the Gauley River is a – you can do an upper and low – it's upper, middle, and lower. There's three sections of it technically. But the problem is it's dam controlled, so you can't even get started to like 9:30. If you could have got started earlier, then it would have been easy. And then, then we would have went for four. But, but then the problem was that you were telling me was, well, you can't even start to 9:30. Or you'll outrun the water.
Exactly. By the time we got to Pure Screaming Hell, which is the last rapid on the lower Gauley, it was probably 2/3 pool. So it wasn't even full flow that first lap. And we paddled Pure Screaming Hell to the takeout with lower water. And we put on
which is doable. Yeah, doable, because they always keep a little bit in that river. It's never bone dry.
Yeah. Highly recommended, though. Get up there, get on the Gauley, get after it. There's stretches of river for every skill level. And if not, go to the new.
What was your
long water up there to get here? 12 Rari.
12 R. What do you think of the 12 R compared to the Scorch X?
Just longer water line. And it's, you know, you got to drive it a little bit more. It's not as forgiving. That hull kind of gets locked in versus the Scorch is looser and squats a smidge. But, you know, I think, I don't know, I was talking about Dream Kayaks, and I'd be interested to hear what you think. Segway, Dream Kayak would be 12R bow in a long ripper stern for a 12-foot boat.
Oh, wow. So you just invented a stinger. Nice.
No. Okay. Stern squirtable, pivot turnable.
Well, you know, yeah, you're basically talking something like the Dagger Outburst.
Exactly. Yeah, but with that, that modern bow rocker.
But with modern, wider bow rocker. The 12R has a very nice bow on it. I really like the bow on the 12R. That would be interesting. It's a very, I don't think you would sell many.
Yeah, no.
But the people that do paddle them will love them and give you probably a lot of laughs and media. I'd love them. That sounds awesome.
Dude, it'd be a niche boat for sure. Just finding an eddy line that you can stare at the sky with. Imagine having a stern squirtable boat that blocked out the sun.
11 and a half feet or 12 feet. Wow. That would be
what would yours be?
Man, I don't know. It depends on – I do like that concept, but pretty much – my dream boat right now is the Scorch X. The Scorch X kind of nailed it for me. It sounds crazy. I sound like, because I love that boat. I love it that Piranha went with a bigger, longer, modern bow rocker, modern stern rocker, flattened tail, comfortable 10-foot kayak that can creak and is fast. It nailed all of the check marks for me. The Scorch X is a dream boat for me that I think I could buy and never buy another boat. I could paddle it today and I could drag it out at 70 years old and just still have fun down it because it's maneuverable and fast. That was a dream boat for me. You know, the Supernova, I mean, you got to paddle the Supernova. I like I would like to see a modern Dagger full slice boat because they have such a good lineage of full slice. I think that would be fun to have a very loose, like fun paddling full slice. So it depends, man. And the Rewind's such a great boat. What do you think of the Rewind compared to the Ripper, by the way?
Oh man, you know, as a longtime Ripper lover, I've spent some time here recently in the Rewind and I feel like it's
medium or large,
softer. Both.
Okay.
I spent the last couple of days in a large and it was a little harder to stern squirt, harder to initiate. You really needed to focus on good technique. But the medium, my Lord, I could just stare at the sky in that thing. The stern is phenomenal. It's got a little bit more bow rocker than the Ripper. So it's easier to manage. Mm-hmm. And the Ripper, you have to drive it like you stole it. You have to be on it the whole time.
Yep.
You cannot float.
I can contest to that.
Especially on harder white water. You can't float. And then in the Rewind, it's like, hey, flip on this autopilot button and
would you kind of does your would you agree thing. With me the Rewind does everything really good everything.
Yeah, it's a quiver killer for sure. I'd say if you were to have one boat, the Rewind could be that boat for most people.
And then you how know? Many of them do you have in the store right now?
Zip zilch, zero. Nada.
Would you say it's your one of your top sellers?
It would be if we sold it, man. I got 19 people on the wait list for medium.
Wow, so you have 19 on the wait list. So if yeah. you got in a shipment of 20, you'd only have one for sale today.
For the medium. And then for I the think medium. We got four on the large wait list, a couple more on a small wait list. It's pretty wild. We got a handful of Rewinds in, three medium Rewinds. And, yep, by the time I picked them up for Dagger, they were already spoken for, you know. And I just don't feel comfortable pre-selling Dagger boats because it may be next year by the time we get it. So I don't want to tie people's money up for that long.
No, I agree.
So we just have that wait list, a little Excel spreadsheet. It's pretty wild. Those boats are spoken for.
Do you push them over to an Antics or a Ripper?
Not if that's what they want. I'll have them try it. But they're all really and truly different boats, you know.
They really are, aren't they? I just did a whole half slice episode where me and Matt, we've demoed a lot of different boats, and we kind of tried our best to cover over our thoughts. And my two top boats, it sounds biased because I used to work for Dagger, and, you know, I'm good friends with the guys at Piranha. But Piranha, Ripper, and the Dagger Rewind, I have them at a tie. And I'm like, it depends on what I want to do that day.
Exactly. And if you want to be on it, you know, I mean, I probably, since the Ripper came out, have spent 2/3 of my paddling career since the Ripper came out in a Ripper.
Yeah. I've seen you. And the only reason
I haven't paddled a Rewind is because damn near they're unicorn kayaks and I'd rather sell it than paddle it.
That is true. You'll sell the demos.
Yeah.
How much for your demo, Johnny? I'll give you $1,500 for the demo.
Yeah.
it's missing thigh brace. It's like, I'll take it. I don't care. I'll put foam on it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Missing a bulkhead. We'll make a foam one. Doesn't matter. Wild. People with Rewinds.
What else? You got anything else? You got anything you want to cover? Anything you want to bring up?
Well, heck yeah. It's been a really good hour. So I got something to build some stoke.
Okay, I love stoke.
Gonna be our 50th anniversary here at the Nantahala Outdoor Center. So we partnered with Astral to make our own limited edition PFD. And I know they're coming out with theirs, but I'll show you. I got the prototype.
Oh, this is the world's first
NOC. Custom blue jackets.
Woo wee! Look at that thing. Johnny Ortiz just dropped a custom. this is the blue jacket, not the green vest.
Correct. So,
and for everyone listening, the blue jacket is just basically the green vest without the toe, the rescue in the center. Dude, that looks awesome. For everybody listening on, he's got the. It has a kayak propped up on a car with the Lotus, the old Lotus symbol. And it looks like an old Ford F-150, judging by
just a brief synopsis of what's going on here. So
yeah, break it down for me, Johnny.
You got pictures from Aurelia Kennedy and Payson Kennedy when they started paddling on the Chattooga back in the day, and we partnered with Image 420. It's an Asheville based design company, and we sent them all these photos, and then they came up with that design of the kayak going down the river that's supposed to be the Chattooga high water. And then on the back is the car afterwards, and it's an RPM there in yellow. And
old school yellow.
Old school yellow. It's got an NOC 50, very subtle. And we built it, we wanted it to last a long time. So instead of the regular ripstop material, it's Cordura. So it's going to last a long time. And then every PFD, that we sell is going to have a iron-on NOC 50th anniversary patch that they can put on any clothing, or if they want to put it on this PFD, it's pretty cool. So
the features, it's still the same, except it's made out of Cordura.
Correct. Yep.
The blue, blue jacket's normally made out of ripstop nylon?
Correct.
I didn't know that. That was a new one.
Yep. Dude,
it looks awesome. I like the blue. I like the yellow. In the front of it. What rapid is that?
It's supposed to be a rapid on the Chattooga. I can't remember off the top of my head. Tim Black and the marketing team.
It's corkscrew.
Some morals. Is that what it is, you think?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's corkscrew. Could be soccer.
But yeah, I'm pretty fired up on that thing.
Dude, it looks awesome. Where can people get this? Hard. Is this only available at NOC, or will it be available from Astral?
Only available from the Nantahala Outdoor Center. I can actually find out what the exact numbers are in 0.2 seconds. But we're going to do a pre-sale launching in the new year.
When is it going to be available?
We're going to launch it, I believe we were talking January 2nd. We were going to go live for pre-sale. There's only 264. Available.
So they better get on, anybody that wants this better goes ahead and place an order now.
Yeah, I mean, you can have them email me and we can work out a pre-sale. If not, we're gonna make the link live. We're calling it the Flow State Blue Jacket.
The Flow State, I like it. The Flow State, that's a Michael Jordan term, I guess. Get into the flow.
I'm pretty fired up on that thing.
Dude, that's awesome. And you know, if they mention they heard it here on the shuttle drive, you'll give them a free, no questions asked, high five.
Without a doubt. I'd probably give them that anyway.
Give them a sticker.
I'll give them a sticker.
That's what I always say. Tell them I sent you, and they'll give you a free, brand new, shiny sticker.
Yeah.
And then you're okay, yeah, sure, I'll give them a sticker. Dude, that's awesome. Swag. Yeah, thanks for showing me that. Believe it or not, Levi just showed me the new green jacket, the green Narrows color, which – I'm not a big fan of the really light colored green vest. What I like about this one, it's a darker blue, the one you showed me, and the green jacket, when they're really, the bright colors seem to get really brown and dirty over just a matter of a month or two. And that one didn't have a lot of bright colors in it, but I don't want it to be black. I like them to be, you know, I like that blue that they had. That looked good, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I am impressed with the new LE green jacket and when that thing comes out. And by no means, you know, do I want to compete with Astral, but I think it's cool that we got together with them and Image 420, and it was all locally sourced, designed, and put together, which is pretty cool. So,
are we going to have our are we going to get a special shoe? That's what I want to see. I want to see our own shoe.
I'd say, you know, I can't. Yeah, that'd be cool. But I think we were talking about doing an NOC 50 kit, something like maybe some IR penstock shorts or the NRS sun shirts with an NOC 50 on it, and just partnering with all these different companies, you know.
Speaking of Immersion Research, what gear do you run right now? What do you personally, as far as like paddling gear, like dry suit and all that?
So Kokatad Icon is my go-to, just tried and true, had it for years. You know, they take care of all the, water testing and gaskets and stuff. I've worked with them for years. When it comes to dry suits, dry top, if it's the summer, I rock the IR Nano, just neoprene cuffs. You know, I've been working out a lot, so the biceps are big. I can't have a shorty with gaskets.
I have problem fitting anything around this. Yeah. You want me to send you my measurements so you can fit me to like a the one I like is the Gore-Tex shorty by Kokatec.
The Napster?
I think it's the Napster. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Napster. I did.
That's pretty sweet.
They have this rubberized material around, and I stretched it all out with all the flexing I was doing. So I agree with you. I would almost like to have the neoprene one, like have neoprene there.
Yeah, so I'll teach out of a Nano most of the summer unless I'm going skin to win. I used to, when I was from New York, plug and play, I used to go skin to win all the time. I'm a Southeast boater now. I can't do that. I'm always in a shorty. PFD wise, I've been green jacket on a creek in most cases. And then I've been using a hustler to teach with, the Kokatat Hustle R, the rescue hustle. Mm-hmm. And then I'll play boat in a YTV or a hustle. I've got them all. I don't know. I take so many people kayaking. I've got a lot of PFDs. Helmets, I teach with a T-dub because it's the only helmet that works with sunglasses.
That is true.
And then
because it's wide on the side, right?
Yep. It's got good sun protection. And then paddle wise, I've been in love with a Powerhouse Carbon, super light, flies through the water. Skirt, IR, I think no questions asked. John Well knows how to.
What do you mean carbon super light? There's a version, there's a lighter version.
It's just super light. The carbon Powerhouse, really light, really stiff.
Versus straight the shaft
Powerhouse. Yep, straight shaft.
By the way, what's your opinion of straight shaft versus bent shaft? I'm a bent shaft guy, but I will go straight. I have two straight shaft surges. So because I just love the surge in a straight shaft, I can go both ways. I can jump back and forth between a straight and bent with no problem. But some people can't. They're just like freak out. What's your opinion on that? I like to hear your opinion.
Opinions on that. So my question would be, is if you were running Hart Whitewater and you had to pull your brake down out, would you feel good with your straight shaft?
Yes.
With a bent shaft? Yes. So I've seen a lot of people lose their paddle, break their paddle, whatever, and then I hand them a breakdown. And they go from a class 4 kayaker to barely survive in class 2.
You're telling me it makes that much difference to a lot of people?
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. So my opinion is I use straight shaft because everybody can get a straight shaft paddle. They're $100 cheaper, and that's what's going to be in the back of your boat when shit hits the fan.
What about as far as like what I had, I can tell you, this is just my opinion. Well, this is just what I'd found. I used to get my forearm after a long time paddling, my forearm would get really tight and like borderline tendonitis on like down the joints here. And then I switched over to a bent shaft and it just went away. And I think it was just because I'm in this more natural position instead of like that. The pinkies out is what everybody, that's what you preach too. The pinkies out, right? Yeah.
You hold your paddle with three fingers. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to get into technique, and maybe we can save that for another show, but you're actively pushing as much as you're pulling. You know, your paddle is a fulcrum. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to be over gripping your paddle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do pinkies out even with a bent shaft, but I think bent shafts give you more like more power and more like finesse moves. I think it excels in all categories, and I could have some paddlers like maybe Dane Jackson. He would probably agree that bent shafts are far superior to straight shafts. He only uses bent. And then like almost 99% of the slalom paddlers, they're bent shaft. Chris Hipgrave.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
the forward bend, forward bend, not the, like the Lettman and those. I love that Lettman power and that G power.
Yeah,
I love the bends on those. Are called forward cranks.
Forward cranks. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, looking back, I paddled G Power for 2 seasons, taught kayaking in Chile with a G Power Twister, the same paddle that Chris Hipgrave has. And I had that epiphany moment that I was just speaking of. I was going through my ACA L5 instructor certification course with Ben Lowry. And by the way, he's like a hard ass.
I know Ben.
Instructor, trainer. And I broke my G Power at Takeout Rapid on the Chioa.
Okay. Which is not far down. Yeah, that's like halfway.
Not far down. And I'm getting evaluated by this hard ass. And here I am just trying to get my dollar raised, you know, to get an L5. And I pull my brake down out.
It's time to perform, Johnny.
Dude. I felt like a damn beater coming through there with my straight shaft. And it was from that point on that I was like, wow, you know, maybe straight shaft's the way. And I've probably saved a couple $1,000 by paddling straight shaft since then. But I can now paddle both. So,
but you feel, if I gave you like a, you know, a Dachi bent shaft at the put in, you'd be fine. You would adjust like me. I can adjust usually. Like if you handed me a bent shaft or a straight shaft, because I own two Warner Surges, and both of them in Straight Shaft because I got them super cheap. And every time I found one cheap, I bought it. And I was like, I don't care that it's straight. I could, and I just, not too long ago, I paddled horse pasture and I didn't want to take my Letman. What I reached for was a Straight Shaft Surge. And that thing, I just adjusted almost like that. And I get what you're saying, because some people really struggle. They're like, really? And I hand them a Straight Shaft and they're like, you're right. It almost drops them down a class rating. And I'm like, really, bro? You need to paddle with a straight. I go back and forth pretty fairly easy. I'm sure you can too.
Yeah. And you know, that goes back to what we were talking about before with variability. You know, you need to be able to adapt and change due to the turbulence that whitewater provides. And just being well-versed in multiple things, equipment-wise, it makes you a better paddler. It's another tool in your
toolbox. What about a left-handed one, Johnny? What if I handed you a left-handed 45-degree 191?
Dude, the last time I paddled a left-handed paddle was on the Ottawa, just trying it out. I was at Garburator Wave, and I tried a kickflip. And landed on my head like I always do, doing a kickflip. Carb rolls, yeah. By the time I got down to Hawaii 5-0, I was like, fuck this, give me my paddle back.
Now on to what we were saying, that's one thing. So I had a friend, and he was left-handed, right? And he wanted to get into paddling. He calls me, and he said, hey, should I buy a left-handed paddle? I said, no, start with a right-handed and just figure it out and make it your go-to, because if anything happens to you, bro, I'm telling you, you're in for a world of hurt and you're always going to have to buy custom. You'll always have to order custom something. And he did. Right. He started with just regular Powerhouse 197 right-handed, just went to Rock Creek Outdoors, bought one and was fine. Yep. And he's never he's left-handed. And he's never used a left-handed paddle. Would you recommend that too?
I say the exact same spiel. Imagine in this COVID crisis, you being a left-handed paddler, trying to order a left-handed paddler, and you call me and I go, September 22, I can get you one of those.
We could put it on order.
September 22. You know,
but you want a 197 Warner right-handed 30 degree today?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Got you. I mean,
pretty wild.
Yeah. Ain't that crazy? Because that's one thing where, unlike bent and straight, which is fairly easy of a little bit of hand, now you've got a twist mechanism. Your power dominant hands totally changed and everything when you go left-handed. I've done like you. I've used left-handed before, and whew, it's not easy. But I feel I could adjust to it, but I'm not probably going to run anything stout in it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of individual things that you can critique your paddling kit for, but the industry standard is what it is. I think, I mean, not to sound like hoity-toity and old school, but it is what it is for a reason in most cases.
Like, eventually figured out what works and what doesn't work and what works. And that's another thing. What about as far as feather? My favorite feather is 45 to 60. I'm usually somewhere in between 45 and 60. And I will go lower on a playboat paddle. I don't mind going like 0 or 30 on a playboat. But I can actually go from 0 to 90 pretty easy. It's weird how we get better and we can adjust things real quick. But 45 to 60 seems to be my sweet spot. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you there. I mean, for a while, I was a 45 guy. 45 guy. My G-Power, I'd adjust when I was doing attainments and trying to get more torso rotation out of my paddle. I'd adjust it to 60. I know Hipgrave uses about 60, and that's the fastest guy I know. But, you know, to go back to what I was saying about what can be found regularly in the industry, R30 is the standard.
Well, like, if you got a Letman like me, then it's whatever you wanted that day.
Yep, that's true. You can do that. just like, you know, just to bring it up, one thing I didn't think about until just now was reliability with bent versus straight.
Okay.
And I've seen, at least from a warranty standpoint, more bents.
I would agree with that.
Than I have straights.
I would agree with that. I think because you've got with a bent shaft, it's four pieces. You know, you got a paddle, you got a right half, a left half, and another paddle blade, and you got a ferrule in the middle, and you've got more, there's more leverage right where the hand grip is. I think there's like this weird focal point where the hand grip breaks a lot. And I've seen more broken bent shafts than I have straight shafts. And another thing, when we're talking about Warner, Warner only does their bent shafts in carbon, right?
Yeah.
And their straight shafts, even their straight shafts carbon Shogun is out of a fiberglass shaft.
Mm-hmm.
It does not do an all carbon. Or is yours all carbon? Can you order it in all carbon?
I wish. I've tried. The only all carbon straight shaft you can get is the Odachi.
Yeah, the Odachi's all carbon. I'm talking about the Shogun. The Shogun's got a fiberglass shaft with a fiberglass. I mean, fiberglass shaft with carbon fiber blades.
Correct. Yep, and it's the same thing with the Sakin Double Diamond Carbon Sherpa Carbon Powerhouse. I've asked Taylor Robinson. He's the marketing manager for Werner, and I've tried to get a Shogun with a carbon shaft, straight shaft.
Why would you want that?
Because it's stiffer. You can feel that flex in the fiberglass, especially doing something like attainments.
That's true.
Or
I know
lake sprint drills. You can feel it, and that's I think why I prefer the Odachi, because there's no stiffness, there's no loss in power. There's nothing.
Maybe well, but see, and also now you just made me think of something. Maybe that's why the bent shafts have that more power that I was talking about, because they don't have any flex. I don't know any bent shaft that flexes.
Yep. No, I agree with you there. That's a
they're
very
all
good
very
point.
Like that Lettman I use is I can feel the power transfer extremely well. There's no flex, and then I do use the Warner Surge, which is all fiberglass, and it feels like I'm got a rubber band in there. Like it's crazy. Yeah. Ain't it crazy that as we paddle, I could feel that it might only be a few millimeters of flex, but it drives me crazy. I'm like, oh, I take a stroke and I can feel it. And I'm like, oh, feels clunky.
Well, that, and then I've been really particular recently. I told you I loved that carbon powerhouse. One reason why I prefer the powerhouse to like a foam core Shogun is because the thickness of the blade, you know, on a Shogun, it's like that thick.
Yeah, and it's like almost an eighth. Yeah.
Yep. And then the carbon powerhouse is thinner. So on bow draws and defects and, you know, things where you're flying the blade in the water, you can feel that resistance.
Of that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So do you like a foam core over a like a non-foam core, like just a foam core blade, say like the Shogun over like a powerhouse?
I like the carbon powerhouse better than the Shogun.
Wow, that's a bold statement right there, buddy. That's a bold
statement. I mean,
statement.
The Shogun is great, but it's
what about the Odachi?
Core. Those are my two paddles. Teaching, it's a carbon powerhouse. Personal kayaking, it's an Odachi.
Yeah. Well, if Warner ever returns my email about getting my Odachi fixed, I'll be using my Odachi. But so I broke my Odachi. And I've been trying to get a hold. I've even messaged Tyler, and they've not even responded back to me. So I'm a little pissed at Warner right now. I'm a little butthurt, Johnny. Maybe I could get you on this, because I've got a bent shaft Odachi that I broke just a blade off at Great Falls, and it's only about 3 months old. So I kept it, and I've had it for a year and a half now, and I've been trying to get it to send it back to Warner to get a blade put on it. But I think right now they're so backed up. That's kind of like what we were talking about. That's kind of the last thing on their list is to fix blades right now. But they fixed
totally.
Yours. Then when you told me they fixed yours, and I got mad. I think I threw something. Yeah, when you told me that they fixed yours.
So they fixed mine, right? And then let me tell you further in the story. They fixed mine. I then attainments broke the other blade. On the fixed paddle. Sent it back. They fixed that blade. So now I had two new blades.
Now I'm officially even more pissed.
A
3-year
old shaft.
Now you're just rubbing it in.
But the kicker is
they fixed you twice. And they won't even return my freaking email. Yeah, back to what I was saying about cherry picking people. Yeah, throw your phone. I would too. I'm about to get off here and call. Give me Tyler's number right now. I'm calling him.
Give me his number. Yeah, right now.
He's on West Coast time. He's still early for him. Yeah. So what were you saying? I'll
take care of you.
3 year old shaft
with your paddle.
Okay. We'll talk later about that one. Yeah.
They fixed the blade. UPS snapped it in half on the way back.
The shaft.
Yeah.
They finally took out that 3 year old shaft.
Devastated. I was so excited to use it. I was going to take it. I think I was going to the Chioa or something. And yeah, I stopped at the shipping and receiving, and the box was in half. And I knew my day was over. So
I'm not
going to
say that gives me, that makes me feel better. I don't feel better.
Pull the trigger. Yeah, man. You know, I mean, just this day and age and COVID and everything, you got to take care of all your stuff.
Yeah, I'm not faulting them. That's why I have those two surges. I've got a brand new surge and a used surge and an AT and that Litman. It's like, I get what you're saying. I'd love to have my Adachi back though. I miss it. I miss that Adachi paddle. Yeah, I'll hit you up on that one, man. We'll try to figure that one out. I'll put some Johnny Ortiz emails behind it.
Yeah, we'll put some love into it.
I'm still
it.
Going to the spam folder, probably.
Probably. I mean, that's what happened with this this invite. By the way,
it went to the spam
pretty well. Yeah, I was like, wow, okay, well, I guess we're not doing this.
All right. Well, what else you got, man? What else you got, Johnny? You got anything else on there?
Not really. You know, I'm just stoked to see what 22 brings, and hopefully we get some rain this fall and get out and get after it.
You doing any races? Am I going to see you at the Ocoee race?
Probably not.
Okay. Green race, Russell Fork, any races?
I'm going to go up to the Russell Fork. And depending on how I feel, I may lay down a time. For the green, you know, I think it's just a matter of me getting over there and
putting in
some laps.
Yeah,
getting laps in. I mean, I'm definitely pretty fit, but that doesn't mean I'm going to lay down a good time in a longboat on that technical course, you know. And plus, the ball's got to grow, you know.
Yeah, that course is definitely a different animal as far as racing in a longboat. A short boat, hell, you'd go out there and probably just nail it like nothing, lay down a time. But getting a longboat down that safely and not pinning.
Yeah, I think going into that, the hardest part, I think, is training. You know, it's not race day. It's getting the race.
Oh,
day.
God, I could contest to that. Yeah, not getting injured during training.
Well, we'll have to get out there and maybe just lay out some trial laps, see how it goes.
Well, awesome, man. Yeah, that's all I got. I can't think of anything else. I think we've covered about everything in this episode. Yeah, dude, I definitely appreciate you coming on, Johnny. Thanks a lot. I think we put down a good episode. This one was fun.
Yeah, man. Stoked. I mean, hour and 15 minutes flew by, and you know, good company and good conversation, and you know, stoked to do it again soon with you, brother.
All right, man. All right. How can everybody see you? You have a YouTube channel?
I don't.
You need
I
one.
Thought
everybody
about
needs
it.
One.
Everybody needs one. I
might start
look
one
into
called
that.
Johnny Ortiz NLC or something. Just start doing some parodies.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, so awesome. What? Instagram, Facebook. Yeah. So you're out there on that.
Yeah, Johnny M. Ortiz on Facebook and Insta, and then you know
TikTok.
Not on the TikTok. My wife has tried to get me on the TikTok, but I think I'm resisting that.
You're good enough. Two's good enough for me. Yeah. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, I'm done. Snapchat, okay, I'll do it if you need me to, but I don't want to. Just message me to my damn phone. I have a phone number for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
All right, for man. Sure, well, bro. Dude, I definitely appreciate you coming on, Johnny. It's been fun. But yeah, we will catch all you guys next time. See ya.
All right. Cheers.
Deuce. What's up?